Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the word for the word that is going to be brought for tonight, Father God, I thank you, Lord, that it's going to fall on good ground, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that it's a timely message, Lord. I'm excited, Father God, for the things that are going to be shown forth in the next coming days, weeks, and months ahead, Father God. I thank you, Lord, that your spirit is moving, that you have not left us, Father God, that we are right where we need to be, Father God, and your spirit is here, Father God. It dwells within us, Father God. We have you inside of us, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, Father God, and we stand in that tonight, Lord, as we read and listen to your word, Father God, that we are edified and encouraged, Father God, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Well, if you're taking notes tonight, yeah, I'm going to have one key scripture. One book that I'm going to be reading out of, and it's going to be in Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And I know Pastor Herman talked about this about a month ago, and it was kind of right after what I had ministered on. And, you know, it's funny because, like, when I went and I ministered that message, the Lord had talked to me about using this in that message. And so, you know, I have another chance to minister, and, you know, the word is the word, you know, and it's relevant for the time and being right now, and it's gonna challenge, encourage, and amen. Like I said, if you're taking notes, the title of our message tonight is gonna be "You Better Check Your Calendar." Okay, and I'm gonna expound on that later on. And the purpose of this message is for God's people to have the God kind of attitude, because we are salty and shiny to a dead planet. We bring the flavor and the direction, okay? So if I go off track tonight, and I'm sure that, you know, I'm going to go on some rabbit trails, just remember that is the purpose of this message tonight in Matthew 5, okay? Like I said, my key scripture is in Matthew 5, 1 through 16. And let's talk about the elephant in the room for a couple of seconds. It's not going to be the focus of my message, but can I share some good news with you because of all the bad news that's been going on? And like I said, the elephant in the room is the coronavirus, of course. We all are affected by this. For the first time in the world, I think, for a very long time, yeah, this is not a disease that's in South Africa or in some jungle in, you know, here in Asia, or it's not someplace far away where it's not going to affect us, you know, because it was easy when it was like, oh, it's just someplace, you know, across the sea. But it's affecting everybody. The whole world is affected by this virus, right? So it's obviously a concern, or what they would like to call a crisis, right? So what I want to talk about, and let me give you some good news about the coronavirus, okay? If there's any, yeah? How about some good news? China has closed down its last coronavirus hospital, okay? Not enough new cases to support them. That's good news. Doctors in India have been successful in treating the coronavirus, okay? With a combination of drugs used, and there's a whole list of drugs. I'm sure if my wife came up here, she could tell you. I mean, I don't know how to talk, you know, that language. She does. Researchers of the Erasmus Medical Center claim to have found an antibody against coronavirus. This one is kind of exciting. A 103-year-old Chinese grandmother has made a full recovery of the coronavirus. Wow, that's... Italy is hit hard, of course, experts say, only because they have the oldest population in Europe. But scientists in Israel, how old is this? This is awesome. Likely to announce the development of a coronavirus vaccine. There was one in here. It's good news. There's one in here where some patients got, oh, here we go. All seven patients who were getting treated for in this one hospital in New Delhi have recovered. Plasma from newly recovered patients from the disease can now treat others that are infected with the disease. Wow, that's pretty cool. But what I want to do, yeah, what the Holy Spirit impressed upon me throughout this whole ordeal throughout this whole crisis is that he asked me, he's like, what is your attitude during this crisis? And I don't know about you, but attitude is like, it's a big thing for me. Because some of you who know me well, you know, it's something that I don't want to say I'm presently struggling with, but, you know, when you hear the word attitude, you automatically think something negative, right? We think about attitude. The title of my message is, you better check your calendar. I cannot tell you how long ago this happened, but we were in another service, and there was a group of guys that we were really close with, and we were talking about the surf. And we was talking about, you know, like how the swell gonna be coming in, and you know, and it was a group of us, and it was one of the guys from this group. He was kind of salty. I don't know, he was having a bad day. And he was part of our group. And he came in, yeah, and he was listening to our conversation of what was going on, and we was excited about, you know, going surfing because, you know, the waves was up. And he came in, it was just out of the blue. He just walked in and he said, "Bruh, you better check your calendar, bro." And I was like, oh, and man, the attitude was just so strong, you could have cut it with a knife, man. And the thing about it, though, is that we were so close, and we still are. We still talk, and we used that whole scenario to kind of buffer each other. Anytime we had an attitude, yeah, anytime one of us in the group would have an attitude, we'd be like, oh, guys, you better check your calendar, you know? And that's good that you can do that, you know? You cannot just be like on everybody all the time, you know? And so, like I said, my key scripture is in Matthew, yeah? Let's go over to Matthew 5 and turn over to verse 1. And like I said, see, calendars are a big thing because you put everything in them and you plan your month out, you know? You plan things ahead of time. Like, if I didn't put stuff in my calendar, I wouldn't know that I gotta go see Dr. Song tomorrow, you know? It's in there, you know? I put stuff in my calendar about when my truck is gonna get paid, you know? I put payment down on the 20th, you know, and I give myself time to pay the truck because the payment doesn't come out till the 26th, you know? You see what I'm saying? Now we use calendars to, you know, plan out things, yeah? Sometimes I guess, what's the word I'm trying to use? Is it a euphemism or a metaphor, like the calendar? I'm trying to use the calendar as like a metaphor for your attitude, you know? But if your calendar your attitude is wrong, then it just kind of just takes you in that direction. That's not where God wants you to be, especially in a crisis, because the world is watching right now. This is a prime opportunity for we as believers, as the church, as Christians, you know, for our lights to shine, right? You know? And we cannot be the guys in Costco fighting over rolls of toilet paper. Man, I've seen videos of people going to blows, man. Like, and I gotta say this, okay? We have done a little bit of shopping. We never get crazy. We never go get one container, you know, or whatnot. We got a little bit of extra because, you know, things are closing down. The next 2 weeks, things are closing down. That is a reality, okay? And, you know, if your faith is set on staying at home for 2 weeks and not having any groceries, that's really on you, you know? And in Egypt, you know, you guys know, this is like totally off my notes. I think this needs to be said. In Egypt, when the famine came, right? Didn't God tell Pharaoh ahead of time that there was going to be 7 years of plenty? Because there was going to be 7 years of famine. So we got to use common sense, you know. Get a little bit of extra, you know. Don't go crazy. Your attitude don't need to be all over the place. Oh, my God, I'm going to be in line. Like, we've been to Costco. We've been to these other places. And, you know, thank God for my wife. She's like, you push the cart, you know. But you just got to be practical on some of these things, okay? And I hope this is okay for some of you. I hope this is not like, oh, man, I thought I was going to just, you know, you pray. You pray. You read your word. You walk it out. But you do practical things as well, right? I'll give you another example. I went to Home Depot today. I couldn't find Lysol. I tell you, our houses are probably going to be the cleanest it's ever been. We are probably going to be cleaner than we've ever been after this whole scenario. Man, I never, ever bought Lysol before. And then I needed to go buy Lysol today. And I went to home. And, you know, every time I make it a practice, I don't get crazy. Every time I go to the store, I see, hey, Mimi, there's something we need to get. Oh, it's out. No big deal. I'm not going to get all knots, you know. But today there was Lysol. So I got my mom some Lysol. I got her mom some Lysol. I got us some Lysol. So we give an extra can if you guys need a can of Lysol. You know what I mean? Like, hey, that's what it's all about, right? You know, the attitude is that, hey, you know, we're going through this, yeah, but we're going to go through this together. And this should make us stronger. It should make us tighter. You know, it should make us better. It shouldn't make us with an attitude. Check your calendar, right? So attitude, I'll give you an example of attitude and what the dictionary talks about, the attitude. Attitude is described as a truculent or uncooperative behavior. And I think that anytime we hear the word attitude, that's probably what we hear, right? It's a negative connotation, I think, right? You say, oh, that guy's got an attitude. But the Bible is talking about the attitude to be, okay? And that's what I'm going to touch on tonight. In Matthew 5, verse 3, and let me give you a little bit of backstory, okay? I'm excited about this. So I cannot really say that this is the first message that Jesus preached, but it is, because this is the first book of the Bible. Right? There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? So the first book of the New Testament that talks about Jesus is Matthew, right? And I was looking in here, and I was like, this looks like the very first message that Jesus preached, because it was right after he got baptized. He got baptized, and then he went to the desert, and, you know, he fasted, and he was tempted of the devil, and then right after that, he started gathering his disciples, you know, the 12 disciples, and then he went to the mount because there was a big following of people that was looking after him because he was healing people. You know, he was doing stuff. And I would like to say that this is the very first message, are we good, that Jesus preached. Okay, are you guys following me? I didn't even get to the scripture yet, and I still like all over the place. So in verse 3, it says this. And I'm going to be reading from a different translations. So this one is the Message translation, okay? And say amen when you got it, okay? It says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You know what that sounds like to me, yeah? When I am weak, he is strong, which is what I preached on last time. And if I would have just listened to the Holy Ghost, I could have just rolled right into this, you know. But, hey, it's all good. It's all good, yeah? In a different translation, in a New Living Translation, that says, God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Wow. That word poor there. We're talking about attitudes, and now we're talking about poor. I know what poor feels like. We grew up with not a lot of stuff. And see, we're going on things now, okay? I know what poor feels like. And I remember one time that I wanted to go to a dance, and I asked my dad for $3, and he said that he didn't have $3. And I was like, who doesn't have $3? I mean, like, oh my gosh. And I was upset, and I said, man, I hate being poor. I hate being poor. And my dad said, hold on, wait a second, yeah? I'll tell you something. You're not poor. Poor is a spirit. Poor is a mentality. What you are, brother, is you're broke. Now, my dad never said that. This is from a comedian. I heard that, and I figured I'd make it personal. But I'm pretty sure he would have told me that. Okay? So now the Bible's telling us, yeah? Is that good? You guys like that? Here Jesus is saying that. Now keep in mind now, this is one of his first messages now. He's telling us what kind of attitude to have. Okay? You better check your calendar, right? He's saying God blesses those who are poor. I want you to just marinate on that right now. He blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. Ooh, that's deep right there. We could stop right there and I could just kick back right now. God blesses the poor and those who realize their need for him. Right there, man. Now, this is the attitude that starts all the other attitudes now, okay? Like, I've heard some people preach it, like, they jump around all different beatitudes and say, you're one or two or three of these and whatnot. And I think if you don't get that attitude, yeah, you cannot get the rest. If you realize that you're poor without God, no matter what you have, you will never be rich. Okay? Whatever you have, you might be the best looking, nicest car, because we understand now, okay? And I don't know if you've caught this yet, huh? Is that things only satisfy for a little bit, right? You see that new dress, not me, no. You know, I'm just talking about, you know. You see that new shirt? See that new watch? You know, see those new shoes? And you're like, man, I want to get those, you know? And then you get them. And then, like, you save up for them, and then after a while, it just, you know, you're not that enthused with it. Hey, buddy. So Jesus is saying that unless you realize that you are poor without him, yeah, you got to ask yourself what kind of attitude you're having, you see? Because then we start to, like, put emphasis on what we have and how it makes us feel, and all of those things are temporary. And that's what the Holy Spirit, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to get across to us tonight, because by giving you this word, yeah, now I want to just remind you this, okay? We're going over the scriptures, and I'm no doubt everyone in here has read this verse of scripture, the Beatitudes, yeah? I want to remind you of something, yeah? The Holy Spirit is under no obligation to pull out scripture in me that I don't know, okay? So get to know this scripture, okay? Because he's not obligated to pull out scripture that you've never read. You're just praying, oh, Lord, please meet me in my darkest hour, and you don't got nothing to pull out, you know? When you pull on this and say, okay, this is it right here. So let's go over to the second beatitude. And this is in verse 4. And I'm reading, I don't know what version this is. Okay, it says, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You know, it's really easy to tell somebody to just get over it, yeah? It's really easy. It's another thing to walk it out, yeah? But what the Lord is saying is that you gotta ask yourself, what are you trading for God's presence? You trading grief for his presence? Are you holding on to the past? In another version, if you want to give me a second, I'm going to go over there right now. In another version, it says this. Here we go. It says it this way. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. You know, I never seen one prideful person cry. Sometimes it's good to just let go, you know. A couple of months back, I was running sound for one of the services, and you know, I was going through some stuff, and I felt like when pressure cooker, like I felt like the world was on my shoulder, and I needed to release some of that. And Pastor had given the altar call, and it wasn't like he said, hey, come down here and cry, man. But I felt like I needed to. And, you know, as a man, I don't have been crying all the time. You know what I'm saying? But I felt like I needed to come down and just release. And I believe Pastor prayed for me, and I got to let go of some of this stuff that I was holding on to, you know? Because you know what? Another thing, too, and it's not, I'm not saying that I'm part of this, but depression is real. You know, I've seen on social media all these young men with families, like a lot of them committing suicide, taking their lives, you know, because as men, sometimes we hold on to too much, man. I think we feel like we got to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, especially if you're a father and you have children, you have a wife, you have all these responsibilities and things that you feel like you need to carry. But the Lord is saying, man, have this attitude, man. Be this attitude. Realize that you are poor without me. Let me help you carry what you carry. You know, give. You see where I'm going with this, right? Okay? We need to understand that. And you know what else too, yeah? The attitude is of the bodies. We need to be sensitive around us of who we come into contact with. You know, sometimes people, maybe not knowing to them, they'll tell me a situation that they're going through. And then, you know, I recognize that faith in them because that's something that I would do. And then so look, the Lord starts working on me and say, hey, I got to step in and do something, you know? Recognize that in your spirit. When somebody comes up to you and I don't know how I said it to my wife. Maybe, hopefully I'll say it wrong. It's like, I went someplace and somebody did a me. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody did a me. Like they would do, they asked for help the way I would ask for help without asking for help. You catch what I'm saying? So be sensitive. Have that attitude in you today, man. The Lord is guiding and directing me. Don't miss an opportunity. I'll give you another. This might sound silly to you. Like I saw one of my friends, he lost some weight, and he was saying that he had a hard time looking for surf shorts. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna buy that guy one pair of surf shorts. You know, just to be a blessing, just to go out. You know, and just say, bro, I gave him some cash. I said, hey, bro, I like invest in the next pair of surf shorts you get. You don't know what that person's going through. You don't know what that means to that person. For you to be like, hey, man, I'll give you another example. Because of this whole crisis, yeah, of course, toilet paper is one thing that's going out. And so now, because everybody taking the toilet paper, they figure they're going to take the baby wipes. And that's where I draw the line, bro. If I don't can wipe my cooler, that's one thing. But when my baby don't can wipe his cooler, bro, oh, brother, come on. Now, I know that's not being too real for you guys, okay? People buying all the baby wipes. They don't even have babies. Come on. What's the matter with you, man? So we was talking at our gym, and one of the people we work out with, and then we just was telling them, hey, you know what, bro? Like, yeah, it's really hard. We go to all the places. It's all sold out, you know, and then it's hard for me to not get an attitude in the wrong way, you know? We walk into one of those stores, and you see the shelves all gone, and you see other people asking for wipes, and they don't even have kids. I said all that to say this. Yeah, I brought a man work at one of the places, and when Craig came in, he called me up. He didn't even have my number. He found a way to get a hold of me, and he said, brother, I get one box of wipes for you. And it's cool now because somebody at my wife's working place needed wipes. And the little wipes we had, yeah, we went share with them. And the harvest just came in. It's like, oh, praise God, man. It was, you know, in the little you have, you know, you have that attitude that like, hey, you know what? Without Jesus, I'm poor. I'm poor. All this stuff is nothing compared to what I have in him, right? Hallelujah. Because this stuff has got to become real. It cannot just be words on one paper. It's got to be real. And when it hits you where it hurts, that's when you start seeing growth. You know, when we work out, yeah, Jaime, yeah, you just start growing until it comes sore. Huh? No pain, no gain, right? It's like, hey, bro, you're doing too much cardio. You're not gaining, bro. The bugger's so easy. You know, it's like, bro, add some more weight on that bugger. Come on. Let's go heavier, right? So we're talking about checking your calendar, right? Let's go over to, the next verse. The next verse says, God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. Wow, that is a mean statement, bro. Yes? The humble are going to inherit the whole earth. Now, that's the earth and everything in it now. Okay? There's a quote that I saw. And it goes like this. It says, pride must die in you or nothing of heaven can live in you. You know, and I like the way these attitudes go in sequential order, like one just builds upon the other one, you know? And last month we went up to Oahu for Jedediah's birthday. He turned 5, and I wanted to do something special. So we ended up going back to her auntie and uncle's house to celebrate his 5th birthday with him. And so, like, in my head, I was like, man, we're going to hit all the spots in Oahu, because Oahu has plenty of stuff to do, you know? And mind you, this was in the midst of all this crisis that was going on. So we ended up going, and on the day of his birthday, we're staying with his auntie and uncle, with my wife's auntie and uncle, my auntie and uncle. And that morning of his birthday, I was like, okay, now we're just going to go. We're just going to bless this boy. We're going to have good fun today because he's 5. And so uncle told me, hey, you know what? We can go to Gavin's soccer game. And then we can go do stuff for Jedediah. Yeah, I never liked the idea of that. I was like, yeah, bro, we came walk for spend time with Jedediah and you guys. I don't like to go spend time with somebody else, you know, and that's family, though. So I even told him, I said, we're not going to do that. We're going to do something with JJ. And, Uncle Stanley, he's bigger than me, Pastor Herman. He's a big guy, man. He said, no, we can go Gavin's game, and then we can go. And so I was like, okay, shoot. So we went, and it was a humbling experience for me because we went there, and Gavin wasn't even playing soccer. He was the only one that wasn't playing. He just wanted to sit down and watch the game. Oh, bro, and I wanted to run around that field. I was like, okay, bro, we supposed to be here celebrating my boy's birthday. But I was pretty cool about it. I never blow my stack. I wasn't sarcastic. Try to get him out there for go play. Pastor Carol was kind of cool because, we're there and we're just being in the moment. It's like, okay, we're here. Let's just enjoy it, okay? Even though it's Jedediah's birthday, let's just go. So then, we're ready to go to the water park. And then we find out the water park's closed. Oh, bro. Yeah. If I had hair on top here, it would have been gone already. It would have been like. So my wife was like, just calm down, man. So we ended up going to the zoo. And then I asked him what he wanted to do. And so he said, hey, Dad, I want to go Chuck E. Cheese. So we went to Chuck E. Cheese. And so we got there. And, we from Maui. And you can tell. I guess the people from Oahu, they can tell who's from there. And you look at, we can tell. Like, we look at people that come here from Oahu. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy's from Oahu. And it's like, you can just tell. Like, I guess we smell different or something. Anyway, so we're there, and we get to Chuck E. Cheese. And so I go up there. I was, like, all excited. We're going to have some fun with JJ finally. And so I get over there, and the guy started giving me some heat. Oh, yeah, you know what? You guys got to wait. And there's, like, a 2-hour wait because you guys got a huge party. And I'm like, okay, man. Like, I'm like that Instapot, yeah? Anybody get the Instapot? You know, when the bugger pot cook, you gotta like turn that thing and so the thing just, all the steam come out or else the thing will just blow up, yeah? So my wife comes running in there. She grabs me by the elbow. She's like, calm down. She's like, Gavin's mom had already reserved one spot for us and she got one table and everything already. Oh, brah. Whoa, no way. Oh, brah. How's that, you guys? How's that? How's that? That's good, huh? Oh, I had to check my calendar, bro. I was like, wow. So we went to that soccer game, and had we not gone, I don't think we probably would have had to wait for a while, man. How's that? Like, instant harvest on our seed that morning. You know what I mean? Like, bro, she went go over there early, and she went reserve on table. She got some pizza. She even had, like bowls of coins, because they still use coins at Chuck E. Cheese's. And oh, that one just humbled me like big time. I was like, hear me, I try to do everything, yeah? And like, you just do what you gotta do, yeah? You just be humble, and other people start moving around and start doing stuff for you, right? It's like, my mom looking at me, she can tell, man, I'm like high strung this way. Like, I just like, oh. But I never tell you guys about that, yeah? And they went over there and they went like set up everything for us. And I was like, I had to, like, sit down, bro. I was like, almost have to cry again, man. Like, but I never, And so, wow, I was like, even though I'm out of school, I'm still learning, I'm still in school, I'm still in school. I want to elder. I know you figure like I'll be floating already, yeah, but I'm still learning, Pastor. I'm still learning. You know, get all these kind of scenarios. You're just like, wow, man. Yeah, go off. Thank God I don't more pampers this to you, there. But you know, I was just so blown away, man. And so the next scripture goes, the next blessing, the next beatitude says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And the next one goes, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God, and I wrote down this, and it says, arrogance isn't thinking too much of ourselves, but thinking too little of others. You know, like mercy. We took that test about, like, what is your strengths and weaknesses, and I scored the lowest in mercy, Pastor Herman. Like, I got, like, an absolute zero in mercy. And I was like, ah, ha, ha, yeah, yeah, you know. You know what my wife scored the highest in? Mercy. The highest in mercy. You know? And, you know, mercy is a laughing thing until you need mercy, yeah? You know, when you jam up, yeah? You know, and I work alone, eh? So I do a lot of things on myself. So, like, you know, when I jam up on the job, I got to go, you know, I kind of jammed up on this a little bit. We good? Nah, we good, Kimo. We good. Okay, thank you for the mercy, you know? It's easy for want the mercy, yeah, but not so easy for give, yeah? But Jesus is saying, you know, that should be part of your attitude, is to always be quick to be merciful, yeah? And that goes along lines with hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you know? The beatitude before that, you know? You know, when you seek God's ways, because God's ways is higher than ours, yeah? These things become easier. Yeah? Like, you know, the big things that was big before, they become smaller. Yeah? You're like, oh, yeah, before when I used to just beat up everybody for that, I just kind of laugh. Ah, that's funny, you know? Like, I'm still learning, though. I mean, if you follow me around one day, you'd be like, oh, yeah, because I still get stuff I got to work on, you know? And the next scripture, it says, God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. Yeah, you see about that, huh? So if you know more mercy, you're not going to be working for peace. Yeah? You see how these just go hand in hand, yeah? God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You know, I get a hard time getting persecuted for when I do wrong, you know? You ever get corrected and you'd be like, you know, I get three boys. And when they do something wrong, I try to correct them. And you're like, And it's like, oh, bro, just say yes, Dad. Just do that, bro. Okay, no fight back with me on this, okay? Because I'm right, okay? I'm your dad. I seen you do wrong. And I know that for me, like, when I got to get corrected for doing something I did wrong, you know, it's kind of tough. But the Bible is saying, you're blessed when you're persecuted for doing what is right, when you're walking out things by faith, when you know, being a good believer, you're being a good Christian, you know, when you know, you're blessed. You're blessed, man. He says you're blessed when you persecuted for being, you know, come in church, when people say, well, just stay home, you know, come to the party with us. No, we get service tonight, you know. You blessed. Let me turn over to, because we are, and this leads into the next part of the scriptures, yeah? It says, because we are called to be salty and shiny, yeah? We're called to be salty and shiny. We cannot tell people, you know? We got to show them. They got to see them in us, you know? You know, I get three boys, you know? Sometimes it's like, hey, bro, do what I say, not as I do. That don't work too good, you know? They got to see you doing them. Like one time, Jedediah, we was at home party, and he wanted one bottle of water, so he told his cousin, hey, go get me that water. Go get them for me right now.
Oh, Pastor Carol, I was like, oh, well, where he got that from? Oh, he must have got it from me, man. You know, and I tell him, go get the water, you know? Give me the water now, now, not tomorrow. You know, because they're playing with the toys, eh? They're doing it, and he's like, oh, can you get the water? And they're like, I said, no, 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 cuz, right now I like the water, okay? So when I see him in there, I mean, it's like, ooh, well, I got to watch out now, you know? You know? Go laugh. You guys all been through that before. Yeah? Yeah? Come on. It's like on Mirror, you see your kids start doing stuff that you're like, oh, I thought they was going to give one Shandai when they didn't get the water. But he's, you know, I was like, I had to pull him on the side. I said, brother, cuz, who are you talking to, bro? Who are you, man? Like, what's going on here? Wait, is he over there, mom? Is Jedediah over there? Oh, man, he probably would be, like, protesting back there, man. So let's go. We are still in Matthew, and I'm going to close up real quick. I'm sorry, guys, but so it goes down to Matthew, and I'm in the New Living Translation right now. And so in verse 11, it says, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. So it goes into verse 13 and says, and you know, when Jesus was preaching, he never go, okay, let's go over to verse 13 now. We're going to start talking about a different subject. We're still in the same subject right here. We're still in the same subject. We're still talking about the Beatitudes. Okay? And he says, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? You know, sometimes I go to my mom's house and she make food and she make them with like less salt for my dad. Yeah? Like, my mom is an amazing cook, man. Like, she can just throw any kind of stuff in a pot and it's like, oh my God, it's like better than going to a restaurant. But sometimes she makes those foods without the salt and it's like, man, it's like, I'm a flavor in this stuff, mom. But you know, they gotta cook that way, you know, it's all good. My mom probably gonna throw in Bible at me pretty soon. But you know what I mean, yeah? When let's say you go and you eat like on Lao Lao and no more, you know, flavor inside. It's just boiled meat, you know what I mean? And that's not we bring, the Bible says we bring the flavor to the world. You know, we bring the color, we bring the excitement. We're the ones who's supposed to bring the excitement and we're the example, you know? So it says that can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And then the Bible says, you are the light of the world. We're supposed to be the shiny. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone. That's key now. It gives light to everyone on how to act. When you check your calendar, man, when you check your attitude, when people see how you acting, that's light right there. They go, oh, when the kid get out of hand, he never flip him over and spank him like 15 times, right? He just didn't take him on the side. I'm still working on that, you know? Stay down to 12 now. You know? People see how you react, and that's light, you know? They see you not scrapping about one case of toilet paper, you know? You'd be like, yeah, that's cool. I'll come back next week. You know, or maybe somebody from the church give me toilet paper. You know, we all in this together, man. Come on, seriously. You know, we are in this together. You know, this will bring us closer. You know, somebody need toilet paper. We'll make it work, right? In the same way, and I'm going to end with this. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. So God gets the glory. That's right. In the end, God gets the glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. You know, it's about being a light. It's about being salty and shiny, you know? And you become salty and shiny when you check your calendar. You check your attitude. You check your attitude. You make sure your attitude lines up with the Beatitudes. And I'm going to say this before I end too. Let me just add this in real quick. And what does the Beatitudes mean? What is the definition of the Beatitudes, of that word, Beatitudes? The definition of Beatitudes means to be supremely blessed. Wow. Not just blessed, but supreme. You know, like that cheeseburger supreme you can get from, you know. It's just one up, man. Supremely blessed. And so I leave you with that. I hope that you are supremely blessed with this message. That you take this, yeah, and you run with it. Amen? And that's all I have for you guys tonight. Be blessed. Dre? Like, take out the tithes from there. Father God, in Jesus' name, as I have released this word, Father God, once again, I thank you, Lord, that it was received on good ground, Father God. And so now I thank you, Lord, that this word will produce not 30, not 60, but a 100-fold return in their lives, Father God. And as they are reminded by the Holy Spirit with the word that they have in their spirits, Father God, that this will be a reminder for the days and weeks and months to come, Father God, that this is the attitude to be, Father God, the attitude to be attitudes, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that we walk in a supreme blessing, Father God, because we are blessed by a Heavenly Father like you, Father God, that has given us everything, that you did not even hold back your only Son, Father God. And we thank you, Lord. We walk in that blessing, Father God, as our attitude, because we are blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' precious name.